This is LOA Today, the Law of Attraction Show. Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with you on June Thiessen and Mark Thiessen here on Thursday, June 11, 2015. And we're talking about humor. We're talking about how humor and happiness make you feel good all day long and how it actually can affect your immune system of all things. And Yoana, you've been, as usual, doing some in-depth research in this regard. Yes. Tell us about the research behind this interesting correlation in humor and the immune system.
Right. So this is a topic that the research into this topic, I should say, is relatively new for conventional science and conventional neuroscience. It's something that complementary medicine has been doing for a while in countries outside of America, Japan and China and the Europeans, Germany and a lot of these countries have been doing research into this for a long time, and the U.S. is only now trying to catch up. So there's not a lot of studies, and I tried to restrict my findings to studies done in the U.S. because people tend to be biased against studies done outside of the U.S. for some reason.
Funny thing, isn't it?
I know. But the paper that we're going to talk about is actually a review of a number of different studies that were done in the U.S. So they're reviewing about five different studies, all on the topic of humor and laughter and its effect on the immune system.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a four-part paper that they, talk about the background behind this and the kind of the historical perspective of humor and laughter and how, the Chinese have been using laughter therapy and laughter yoga in healing and clinical settings for a long time. And then the second part...
You got to stop there for a second because you just can't leave that one hanging there.
Okay.
The Chinese have been using laughter in a clinical setting. I mean, how does that exactly work? Do they come up and tickle you or what is that? What do they do?
No, they use the laughter therapy and that's where they employ anything from stand-up comedians, clowns, whatever it is to kind of get the people come to this treatment session where they're just made to laugh. And of course there's laughter yoga where you actually go into the yoga room setting and you have, someone leading out like they would in a regular yoga class, and he's basically instructing you how to laugh, not how to laugh because everybody knows how to laugh, but to laugh on cue, basically.
Okay, so now we do a laughing tiger pose.
Yeah, exactly. And what's funny though is that when you are faking a laugh, it eventually leads to a real laugh, and the effect the body doesn't know the difference in terms of the beneficial effects, anyway. So, I remember a show where Oprah was introduced to this whole idea of laughter yoga. And she said, I checked this thing out. So the camera crew and everybody followed her in there and they showed the whole session. I mean, clips of it. And the people in the audience, the TV, everybody was laughing, even though you were actually being cued to laugh.
There's no joke. Eventually it gets contagious. You just start laughing at the laughing.
Yeah, he just tells you laugh and you laugh, from the belly or whatever. I forgot the instructions. You kind of have to ha, 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 ha. And you just kind of look at each other and start laughing. And you have a whole session of that. But afterwards, you feel great.
I don't know. It sounds weird to have somebody up front saying, you will laugh and you will enjoy it.
Well, he doesn't say it like that.
Oh, okay.
With a chuckle, and he says, try to get your whole body involved. Try to get your breathing and your stomach muscles involved and that kind of stuff. So, he says, do it any which way you want. You can kind of get a laughing partner. And so, if you're standing and facing someone and they're laughing uproariously, it's very difficult for you not to laugh along with them as well. So
that's true. I mean, we know that just from doing the show because, we'll inevitably crack a joke between us and then that gets the other side going. And we're laughing halfway through the show. We could be talking about the most serious thing. And
exactly,
we crack a joke and bam, there you go.
You know, I'm sure we've all had times where, you know, someone in your presence starts laughing and you're not sure what the joke is, but they're laughing.
Yeah, right.
Or you start laughing too, and you're like, what are you laughing at? And, you know, so.
That's the nice thing, that it is so contagious, though. Yeah. And that's an appropriate word, isn't it? Because we're talking about the immune system.
Exactly. That's right.
So talk about the contagion.
Spreading good vibes, basically. Yeah, so the rest of the article talks about, there's a part that talks about the physiological and the psychological effects of laughter, and that has to do with, you know, specifically the stress hormones and some of the, you know, how it modulates the stress hormones and elevates some of the feel-good hormones, you know, the serotonin and all that. And
which
then
we're totally in favor of.
Yes, of course. It just feels good. The third part of the study talked about laughter and its effect on muscle tension and cardiorespiratory symptoms, and how, you know, you feel more relaxed, and, you know, you breathe better, your heart just works better, and all that kind of stuff with a lot of laughter. And then the fourth one, which we're going to talk about some more, is about humor specifically and its effect on the immune system, measuring some of the factors that are involved in our immunity against diseases. And I have five studies that I can go into, but I was thinking you might have a question here.
Not so much a question as I was just kind of pausing and thinking while you were talking about that, saying to myself, well, let's see, we like to laugh, and certainly we've all experienced you know, the relaxation that comes with laughter and so forth. It's kind of weird to actually have a study telling us what we already know. But I guess there's some good side to that anyway, because it helps set up the whole thing about the immune system. But it just seems kind of weird.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, it's only after, you know, conventional science, you know, fighting and almost unwillingly admitted that there's a connection between the mind and the body. And so, you know, after that, it led to them understanding that stress has, damaging effects on the system. And then they thought, well, if stress has damaging effects, then laughter might have some positive effects. So it was kind of like a duh kind of a study.
Has Western medicine actually adopted the idea that there is a mind-body connection?
Yes, yes.
It really have. Has. As a scientific principle, as a proven fact, as an assumption, how do they treat it?
So, you know, there's too much evidence now to deny it. But the thing is that accepted or acquiesced to it, then the evidence just kept rolling in. As a matter of fact, just this week, there was an article about a research paper that's going to be published. It hasn't even been published yet in Nature. And, you know, Nature is one of the foremost scientific journals, about the discovery of this for all of medicine, they did not know that there was a connection directly between the brain and the sinus. There are like vessels that were kind of went ignored or unrealized for, you know, centuries of dissecting human bodies. And they saw this vessel that connects the sinus directly to, you know, areas in the brain. And so now they're understanding that, there's some connection between some of the neurodegenerative diseases and immunity. But the thing is that once they've understood that there is a connection between the mind and the body, now it's almost as if they admitted that there was something, and then all of the evidence just started showing up.
It's kind of reminiscent of the story of the Native Americans who couldn't see the ships out in the water because it wasn't part of their experience.
Exactly. Exactly so. Yeah, because, you know, other cultures have been doing this research for a long time, and so there was evidence there, but they, you know, ignored it or discounted it. But now that they, you know, like I said, the NIH has established a branch that's responsible for all the research in that area, and it's called CAM, complementary and alternative medicine department of the National Institute of Health.
Well, of course, it's not going to be an NIH program unless it has an acronym. So I'm glad they finally got the acronym out of the way. That's good.
That's what they do.
That's all they do, isn't it? There isn't anything else that they do. No, sorry.
Well, you know, I may want a grant from these people someday. So. But,
well, that was a good laugh in line with our program. So continue. What have we found out? I want to know what the connection is between humor and the immune system.
Okay, so the first study talked about measuring a sense of humor. And believe it or not, psychology has these scales that they use, and they can measure your sense of humor and find out where you lie.
It's just laughable to think about it.
Yes, there are many scales, actually.
please stand still while I measure your humor.
Oh, let me tell you, the field of psychology has a scale for almost every human trait that you can think of. In fact, there are more than there's that. The situational humor response scale, and there's the meta message sensitivity scale, and there's the coping humor scale, and, you know, a whole list of those. But anyways, they use those scales to kind of see if there's a correlation between, a sense of humor and, the immune system. And what they did was they, you know, had these students, you know, psychology uses a lot of college students for their studies. Fill out these scales and get a score, and then they had them submit a saliva sample, and they tested the saliva sample for the IgA antigen, which is, you know, part of your immune response, and there was actually a correlation between having a high score on the sense of humor scale and having a higher concentration of the IgA. And that also correlated with the T cell response. You know, T cell is one of your white blood cells or lymphocytes, which of course is involved in your immunity. And they found that people who have a high sense of, you know, scored high on the scale of sense of humor, that their T cells had a stronger response in terms of the antigens that they produce. So that was, you know.
So let's translate this into English, okay? Yes. What exactly does this mean? It means that humor did what regarding T cells and antigens and all that?
So what they're saying basically is that people who have a natural, you know, who have a sense of humor, they tend to have a better immune system.
Oh.
Justin. Well,
that's what we were trying to explore. That was it. Hey. Look at this, Joe. We actually have a better immune system if we laugh.
Right.
Does it happen fairly immediately? So if you start doing a lot of laughing for an hour, your immune system gets stronger?
No. This study is not measuring that. They're not measuring laughter. They're not measuring mirth or happiness. They're talking about sense of humor. This is your attitude, basically, your general attitude, how you see life, how you respond to things, you know, whether you can see the humor in situations rapidly or you can make people laugh and that kind of stuff. So, you know, they didn't, you know, other studies are going to talk about specifically exposure to laughter and as well as how readily you laugh, engage in laugh. So, but this one only looked at sense of humor. So, you know, there's some people.
Okay, so what happens for somebody who's bipolar? Because, I mean, they go through these huge mood swings, right? There are times when they're extremely sensitive to humor, and there's other times you can't get a laugh out of them to save your life. So which part of the cycle you catch them in, you could get them a very high score or a very low score, wouldn't you?
That's true, yes. And, you know, that's probably a good thing when they're on the good side. But for the most part, these are people who don't have any psychiatric disorders.
Oh, okay. So they actually screened for that.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that makes sense because otherwise you could have scales going all over the place.
Yeah. In fact, that's one of the things that they discuss as a challenge for these kinds of study is to get quote-unquote normal people.
That always makes me nervous because what they usually come up with for the idea of a normal person is so abnormal that I wouldn't want to be anything like it. I mean, it's true. The average normal person Well, I don't know any. Do you know any average normal people?
Well, in terms of not being crazy, yeah, sure.
Well, I don't know. I've maintained all my life that I'm sane and the rest of the world is crazy. They probably, you know, turn the thing around and say the same thing about me. So.
Well, yeah, so they would be getting all the people like themselves, whatever they are.
So in other words, the researchers find more researchers.
Yes, in fact, and researchers find college students because they tend to get compensated.
Yes. Got to have some way to raise the money for the beer this weekend.
Exactly. Yeah, so all we know in psychology is based on people between the ages of 18 and 24, somewhere around there.
How appropriate. Our entire knowledge of psychology and medicine is based on a bunch of drunken college winos. That's pretty cool.
Oh, gosh. Listen, let me not, because there might be psychologists listening. And really upset.
Humor, guys. Humor.
Yes, right. No. Hopefully they do these, what they call pilot studies with the college students and to kind of, guide the course. And then they choose a wider study to include the general public. But, so the second study now, this one is looking specifically at humorous situations. And here they had the subjects look at either a humorous video or an instructional video. The controls looked at an instructional video. And here again, they measured the level of the antigens in their saliva. And they did it before they watched the video as well as after watching the video. And as expected, there was an increase in the level of antigen in the saliva. What was interesting was that they found that people who started off with a higher baseline had a higher increase.
Okay. I would think also, though, that the stimulus makes a difference. I mean, if on the one hand you're looking at your typical nightclub comedian in a video, and then on the other hand you're looking at Robin Williams in a video, I would think you'd have two different levels of response.
Right. So what they were, yes, the researchers were aware of that. And so the videos were,
they were all Robin Williams? No, sorry.
Richard Pryor and Robin Williams.
Oh, they were?
Yes. They actually mentioned
it. The Robin Williams study. I love it.
I know.
And Richard Pryor.
Yeah. So they made sure they got stuff that was, you know, laboriously funny. And so, you know, for that would really make you kind of laugh out loud if you find that funny. But, you know, they did the study such that people were, you know, they looked at each subject looked at the Robin Williams video, the Richard Pryor video, as well as the instructional videos. And they did measures before and after all three videos so that they could, analyze the changes statistically.
I wonder if Robin Williams and Richard Pryor ever did a show together. I can't remember a time ever seeing them on stage, but I mean, if you had filmed that one and included it in the study, well, first of all, you couldn't complete the study because the researchers would have fallen over in the middle of doing the research.
Yeah, that would just have been impossible to, like, concentrate with. Oh, my goodness. I can't even imagine the two of them together. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I think we got a sense of it from when Robin and Billy Crystal what's her name? I can't remember what her name is.
Oh, Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi Goldberg, when the three of them would get up on stage.
Right.
Because,
yes.
I mean, they would play off each other so well. And, yes. I mean, it was just one laugh after another.
Right.
Yeah, so get Richard Pryor into that mix. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so that was the second one with the humorous situation. And then the third one was also exposure to humor. But this time, instead of measuring antigen, they measured levels of, because some people, you know, they had issue with the saliva study because they felt that there were factors that could influence that, like some people tend to salivate more than others.
That's a source of humor right there. Doesn't this like introduce biases into the study when you have humorous parts of the study that aren't part of the actual study?
Listen, you want to find humor, like, you should read some of the things that people actually research. It's like, what? You know, I sometimes share this with Mark and I say, somebody actually financed this. Like, seriously?
Well, there's the joke for you. That's the all-time joke.
But sure enough, they do. But anyway, so they were looking at the natural killer cells, and that's the actual scientific name for these cells. And that is
what
because...
What are they called again?
Pardon me?
What are they called again?
Natural killer cells.
Ugh. I don't want any of those anywhere near me. Just, you know, next time that we're in the same room, just, you know, remove mine, okay?
Yes, so you want those cells because those cells are called natural killer cells because they attack and they lyse and destroy any tumor or cancerous cells in your body.
I take it back. Next time we're in the same room, give me an injection of these cells.
Yeah, and these guys are like assassins. They're so efficient. They can go into tissue and they can selectively detect the cancerous cells and destroy those and leave all the other cells intact. I mean, you want all your natural killer cells to be as efficient as possible.
So these are the James Bonds of the immune system world.
Exactly. That's right.
Da 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 da.
Yeah, these guys are no joke. I mean, and you know, there's a direct correlation between the level of natural killer cells in your body and your you know, how easily you develop tumors and other type of metastatic type events in your system. You know, people who tend to get skin lesions, skin cancers, they tend to have low levels of natural killer cells. And so this study was measuring the concentration, not the amount of, what's the right terminology, of natural killer cells, as well as the effectiveness of the natural killer cells. The effect of humor on that. And what they found was that, again, people who had the strong, who measured strong on the sense of humor scale, as well as the extroversion scale, tended to have higher, there was a positive correlation, basically, between extroversion traits, sense of humor, and the concentration of natural killer cells in the blood.
Well, of course, anyone who's ever seen the movie Goodfellas knows this. That's what it's about. It's having humorous gangsters.
Right, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you want these guys around, okay, because they protect you. And so having a sense of humor. But I found it interesting that the extroversion, you know, being an extrovert basically also predisposes you to have high concentrations of natural killer cells. And on the other hand, people who measured high on the neuroticism scale tended to have low levels of natural killer cells.
So the more neurotic you were, the less healthy you were.
Exactly.
Or the weaker your immune system was.
Your immune system, yes.
So if somebody is neurotic, they now have one more reason to overcome their neurosis because they'll actually live a healthier life.
They will, right. But they may not want to because they're neurotic.
Well, if they get healthy, then they'll want to. That's the whole point, isn't it? I mean, you don't want to remain neurotic all your life. Oh, my God, what's going to happen next?
Yeah, you know, depends. But
I tell you, if it isn't one thing, it's another. I mean, can you imagine you do that often enough in your life and you say, oh, my God, there go all my killer T cells.
Right, yes. No, you don't want to do that. Yeah. Right now, we're actually increasing our killer cells. They're multiplying rapidly as we laugh on the show.
Wow.
So we're raising our concentration.
That's what that is inside. Oh, I'm sorry. Don't forget. I was just going to make a joke about what I'm seeing inside my body, but no. Never mind.
Anyways, that's
this
good.
Is making me silly. I can't help it. I'm sorry.
That's good. That's good. So the other study was also looking at the natural killer cells and the cytotoxin level of your cells. You know, it's one thing to have these cells, but to have them, you know, be efficient and potent, that's another thing. So they can measure the substances basically that these cells produce to destroy the cancerous and the tumor cells.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had people watch a humorous video, and then the next day they came back and watched the distressing video. No, two groups, right? So when one group watched the humorous video and then watched the distressing video, and then the next day they switched. And so they measured natural killer cells before the video and 30 minutes after the video and then 23 hours after the video. And there again, there was a positive correlation between sense of humor and the level of NK cells in the body. But interestingly, what they found was that there was no difference after 24 hours, after at 23 hours. So there was a difference right after. So what they're thinking, and they can't say for sure because they didn't measure in between those times. But they're thinking that, you know, laughing and doing fun stuff and having a fun time causes a spike in your NK cells.
Okay.
In order for you to keep the spike, you have to keep laughing, basically.
Well, I was just thinking, as you're describing this, this is almost right out of the movie The Secret. Mm. Because one of the scenes in The Secret is where a woman tells a story about how she had breast cancer.
Yes.
And she and her husband, for the next 3 months, just watched funny movies over and over and over again.
Right.
And it cured her of cancer. This is like a direct connection to that particular thing. Now we're saying that there is a scientific connection that shows you laugh, you increase the cells that kill off cancer cells.
Yes, exactly. And the thing is, like you said, this woman, she watched those every day. You can't just watch them one day and expect a cure. You know, this is something that has to be on a kind of a consistent basis, especially if you're dealing with, a terminal illness like cancer. So,
well, plus she also had a little extra help because she was married to another presenter on the program. He was the guy who crashed the airplane. He was the one who was in the hospital fighting that for right. months at a time. So he knew all about the importance of keeping your mind focused on what you need to focus on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. They were both in there and they both had these very severe events that they overcame.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. It reminds us how important it is to be persistent and consistent in our feel good exercise, whatever they are.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, one thing that occurred to me is that I wonder if he would have actually crashed the plane if he had been in that good feel good place in the first place. Mm. Probably not.
Probably not. Probably not.
Yeah. So, but it's interesting. This is the first time I think I can think of anyway where I have seen that there is there's an actual scientific study to back up something that was reported in The Secret.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. In fact, since this study, they have actually implemented some of this therapy in some of the cancer treatment wards of hospitals. So
that sounds very cool. Listen, we're due for a break here. Let's take the break and then afterward, tell us a little bit more about that because that sounds like that could be really useful information for anybody to have, okay?
Okay.
All right. This is LOA Today here on PRN. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to LOA Today. Walt, Mark, and Yuona on this Thursday, June 11, 2015, having a good laugh about the role that humor has in relation to the immune system. And Yuona, just before the break, you revealed a very interesting fact about the role that these studies have played in actual clinical situations.
Yeah, some hospitals have implemented a laughter cart. A laughter cart.
So this is like one of the candy stripers, as they used to be called. Pushing this cart around, is that what it is?
Right, yes, because it's kind of like the nurse who goes around with the medication. Instead, this nurse goes around with a cart full of things that make the patients laugh. And so it's...
Well, what a great way to cut down the cost of healthcare. Screw going into the hospital. Just send the nurses to their homes. Okay, we're here to laugh.
Yeah, because they found out how effective that is. I mean, and here's the great thing. It not only helps the patients, but the nurses, you know, it makes their jobs easier and less stressful too.
Yeah. Oh, well,
you know, like you said earlier, it's hard to be in the presence of someone who's laughing and not laugh yourself.
And they certainly have high stress jobs because they're constantly dealing with illness and traumatic situations and, you know, death-defying situations and, oh my goodness, all these tests and how terrible the world is because everybody's getting sick and oh, I get to laugh. What a change.
Hours that they have to work sometimes and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, so they have this cart and it's filled with, you know, they got stuff to make all kinds of different little arts and crafts things, and they have videos and comic books, and they have different mask outfits that, you know, the patient can put on or the nurses can put on, whoever, depending on, you know, and so.
This brings to mind Robin Williams again.
Yes, exactly, from that movie. What is the name of the movie?
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called, but it's the doctor who formed the clinic before he was officially a doctor. He was a medical student.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And he formed, because he did that for, he was a pediatrician, and he would go around dressed as a clown and entertain his patients, and they loved it, because he was ahead of his time, certainly, in understanding, because, you know, he got a lot of negative flack, well, I shouldn't say a lot, but he did get some for that, because people felt like he wasn't taking, you know, the illnesses or medicine or anything seriously, and
apparently, he was taking it far more seriously than everybody else.
Exactly, yeah. So now he's vindicated.
yeah. So what else do we know about these studies? What else have they told us about the beneficial effects that have come from these push carts that they push around the hospitals?
Yeah, those are having a very good effect on the patients because, I mean, if not, you know, they don't measure the immunity of the patients like they do in the research, but they can see the change in terms of the people, the patient's attitude and their response to being in the hospital and having to undergo, you know, chemotherapy and all the other, you know, different treatments that they have to undergo. And so this helps them to deal with that, and they're finding that the patients are then responding to the treatments a lot better, you know, because of, you know, implementing these types of things like laughter.
It makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
It does. And in fact, it brings to mind a conversation we had on this program a few weeks back around the time of the riots in Baltimore. And we talked about the hospital, the mental hospital in Hawaii that got emptied out by a practitioner who went in and basically just did this, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you routine.
Oh, yes, the Ho'oponopono.
Right, yeah. Well, here we have not that routine, but a slightly different routine, a humor-based routine going in. I wonder if that's going to end up emptying out the hospitals.
Well, first, let me, before you get carried away, the ratio of hospitals that are doing this to the hospitals that are not.
I'll take one. All we need is one, because if we have one that empties out the hospital, the others will notice. First of all, the corporations that run them will say, well, we can't do that because we don't have any patients.
That's going to be a problem.
But there's going to be some researcher somewhere who's going to say, hey, look, they emptied out the hospital.
Right.
Because even in medical circles, there are some people who are alert and paying attention.
Yes.
Not absolutely. Many, but a few.
Yes, there are. Definitely. Yeah, so, you know, some hospitals might want to use that in their advertising to, you know, not that you want to go to the hospital, but if you have to.
Wouldn't that be cool? We could have more hospitals do this so we could have less hospitals.
Yes, that would be awesome.
That would be really amazing. Mm.
Yeah, there's one more study.
That would be worth going to a Robin Williams video.
Yeah, I know, because after I was reading the study, I thought I need to go find a YouTube video of Robin Williams.
There you go. Yeah.
His stand-up comedy. I just love those so much. But there's one more study that was quite interesting. Like I was saying, that you know, the researchers who conduct these studies are challenged in a number of ways because, you know, they have to find quote unquote normal people, and when some of the studies only included men because when you use women in the study, it tends to there are a lot of issues in terms of hormonal fluctuation that changes the immune system.
So we're not saying here that men are normal, are we?
Well,
just simpler.
They don't have monthly hormonal fluctuations. That's all we know.
Well, let me put it this way. I have long considered myself to not be a normal man. I don't like the idea of now being a normal man.
Oh, you don't want to be normal. Well, okay, you're not, so.
Oh, thank you. Okay. I feel much better.
No, but this study, what they did, so this was a group of women, and what they did was, besides testing their blood, they actually recorded their response, video recorded their response to the humorous videos. And they looked for certain cues to kind of tell them what's going on as far as their response is concerned. And what they found out was that, the people who laughed out loud versus those who just smiled had much greater changes, basically, in their immune system.
Interesting.
And there were two subsequent studies that confirmed these findings. So, laughing out loud versus smiling definitely has a beneficial effect. It also reconfirmed the natural killer cells, the temporary increase. They saw the same thing, it spiked and then it kind of went back down after a while, a few hours. And they also saw, improvements in the stress level of the people who were watching the movie and laughed. And again, the same thing, those who laughed out loud had much better responses. And so what they found was that if you are just smiling at something funny and you're just kind of, enjoying it in your own way, you have less benefits than someone who is uproariously laughing, belly full.
It reminds me actually of a TV episode I saw. It was a show on Bravo called Inside the Actors Studio, mm-hmm. and Robin Williams was the guest.
Okay. I don't know how anybody could interview Robin Williams. He just doesn't sit still.
Exactly. That's precisely what happened. So, he interviewed him for 5 minutes at a time, then Robin would get up and go flying off in some direction
of
for
course,
a bit.
Yes.
And there was one woman in the audience who just laughed and laughed loudly whenever he would do his stuff. And at one point, he actually singled her out and he said, "You have a great laugh." And the camera's focused on her face. Beat red, and she's laughing and laughing continuously. And when you're telling me the story about how it's so much more beneficial to laugh than to just smile, I'm thinking that woman's got to be the healthiest woman on the entire East Coast.
Yes, I'm sure she is. That's kind of like me. I mean, I remember growing up, my sisters didn't want to sit next to me at church because, God forbid, something funny would happen.
Oh, God, you want us laughing at church again.
I know. Even now, I tend to try to be more reserved, but it doesn't work.
Well, now you have a reason to say, well, why? Why bother to be reserved? Go for
exactly.
it. Let it all out.
That's true, because, when you think about, you're taking supplements and vitamin C and all that kind of stuff to boost your immune system, hey, just have a good laugh.
it makes a lot of sense. It's cheaper. It's easier to do, Just takes a little practice and a couple of Robin Williams videos, and you're done,
I know.
And a glass of water to keep you hydrated.
There you go. Yes, you do need that. Yes.
Yes, definitely.
In between chuckles. Otherwise, you'll just choke to death on the laughter.
Oh, goodness. I know.
Yeah, we can't have that. But you're right. And wouldn't it be cool if it got to the point where laughter was a requirement for working in a hospital?
Oh, my goodness. That would be so awesome. That would be so awesome. Wow, I would want to work in the hospital then.
It's like you would have, Broadway reviews appearing in the hospitals,
Right.
Have a pill.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, when I think about, they said that children laugh some couple hundred times a day and adults laugh maybe 5 times a day. And, unfortunately.
It makes sense because except when we're doing the show, the show is when I get most of my laughs in during the day.
Yeah, yeah.
So that makes total sense.
And
you guys have been doing something I know. You've been doing like once an hour. You've been getting yourself up and excited and so forth. Maybe we should amend that. Maybe we should be laughing once an hour.
Well, we do laugh once an hour.
Oh, you do? Oh, okay.
Invariably, Mark, he never remembers what we're supposed to be saying.
Or I'm laughing at your antics because you do it different every time. Right. Facial expressions, body language, and waving your arms and stuff.
Yes, I try to like get into it, you know, like because it's one part says God's wealth circulates in my life, and I try to like circulate myself, and you know, I do the jazz hands and all that kind of stuff. And so Mark either fumbles through it or he ends up bending over laughing. So we do get, you know, laughs in.
And you've been doing it for how long now? This once an hour thing.
Pretty much this week.
Yeah, we started last week sometime. Okay. We haven't kept tabs on how long we've been doing it.
So Mark, you've been kind of quiet on this because Yona's been on a great role here. How has it worked out? How's the first week been, and what kind of result has it had for you to be doing this once an hour laughing thing?
Oh, it's been fantastic because it's not just laughing. I mean, that wasn't even our focus. Our focus was just keeping our mood high, our positive emotions high. And that by itself has been phenomenally successful because, you know, the way I felt last week, which was okay, I don't even drop down anymore to moments of, oh, that's right, I got to watch, let myself get negative. It's now I'm just on a high all day long.
Yeah, and it keeps getting higher and higher.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. That's quite an endorsement.
It's fantastic. I'm so glad we started doing this.
How on earth did you get started on this? I mean, we're off topic here, and I do want to get back to the whole topic of humor and the immune system. But this hour, 1 hour a day, or I'm sorry, once every hour, doing this thing to get yourselves feeling good. How'd you get onto it?
There was something I read or I saw or something. I don't even remember exactly.
Right.
But I realized that, you know, we would have these great intentions at the beginning of the day. And then, you know, by mid-morning, you're kind of back into the normal, either, you know, neutral or worse kind of feeling. And so I decided I was going to.
I think you just came up with it because you wanted to combat that trend.
Yeah, but I think somebody suggested it.
Oh, really?
I came across something like that. But then we also saw that Jack Canfield? How do you say it?
Jack Canfield, yeah.
Canfield. He said that when he was trying to reprogram his mind, he would repeat the affirmation, you know.
Well, Bob Proctor said that.
Oh, that was Bob Proctor. Yeah. Okay.
Well, they're both from The Secret, so it's okay.
But he said that he repeated that one affirmation, you know.
He said 1,000 times a day.
Yeah, but we figured he couldn't really do that.
That would be like once a minute.
I know, exactly. Yeah, Mark calculated it. But we figured that he was saying this constantly. And so, you know, I've tried to say something constantly and it lasts about 10 minutes at most, you know. And so I thought, you know, the way to kind of keep that in the foremost of my mind.
And still get work done.
Yes.
Get work. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have to live our lives in the middle of this, don't we?
Yeah. But, you know, what's interesting is that the more, because we're doing it every hour, it keeps our mood up. But it also helps me to remember to kind of, you know, mentally rehearse the affirmations throughout the day while I'm doing my work. So, you know, it's like, you know, we're covering all the bases.
Yeah. And we're supposed to take a break at least once an hour anyway.
True.
You know, according to all the experts on work study and all that.
Right. Because even those, you know, they said if you do sedentary jobs, you should get up every hour and stretch at least. So we're getting all of that in.
Yeah. So we actually get up from our chairs and we stand in the middle of the room and we do our affirmations and make each other laugh and.
Yeah, and it's like this amazing therapy. Like I was mentioning before, you know, we, you know, for me, I'm always about, you know, my supplements. I have to have my supplements, and I'm thinking, you know, I have such faith in these physical supplements, but here it is, I have this non-physical supplement that I can take, and it costs me absolutely nothing, and the effects are much more, you know, beneficial because it's like immediate. I feel immediately good. And like I shared with you last week, you know, when you do that all day, the next day you get up, your normal default is a little bit higher than it was, you know what I mean, every day. So it really helps a lot.
Now, I have to ask this. Don't you feel like a fool sometimes doing this?
I mean,
Yeah,
absolutely.
And we use that. At least I do. Sometimes I mix it up. I'll sneak up on her a little bit and start doing it in a funny voice. Or
yeah, because our niece lives with us and she thinks we are absolutely bonkers.
Well, she's right. I mean, that's a good thing.
And then because one time we were out somewhere in the grocery or something, and we were meaning to do it even when we're out, and so we did it anyway, not as as dramatically as we would at home. We just kind of muttered it under our breath. But even, we said it loud enough that we could hear each other. And my niece just kind of went to the next aisle. She was like, oh my goodness.
I don't know these people. I am not associated with them.
Exactly. Or if she's in the car with us and she has to repeat, we repeat it and she's like rolling her eyes and she just thinks it's so weird.
It's tough being a teenager, I tell
you.
Yeah. Of course, she's right. It is weird.
It's very weird.
True, but you have to.
That's what makes it so tough to be a teenager. She's putting up with these adults who are doing these really weird things.
Exactly. But to get the weird results, you got to do the weird things.
That's
and
right.
You don't want any more of the same old.
This is where we have to take our inspiration from Robin Williams once again, because when he would get onto one of his comedic roles, mm-hmm. and by roles I mean R-O-L-L,
right.
he just kept rolling. It was just stream of consciousness. Whatever came to his mind, that's what he acted on. And so he could be flying about the room and flapping about and all this other crazy stuff. Wouldn't it be great if we could all do that regularly? Well, that's what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that he... couldn't find the way.
Yeah, that was a very sad thing. But I look at that as simply the ending. The stuff that led up to it was fantastic.
Yes, it was. Absolutely. He increased the energy of the world.
Mm-hmm.
was here. So.
Oh, yeah.
And still doing it now, with his videos. Whatever.
And he will for generations to come.
Exactly. Absolutely.
He is to our generation what, say, Laurel and Hardy were to the generation of the Depression era.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. Or Charlie Chaplin of the 20s.
Yeah.
Yep. So, okay, well, listen, we've got about, 7 or 8 minutes left, maybe not even that much. Let's finish off the topic we originally started on, which was humor and the immune system. Now, you went through a kind of a summary of the 5 studies.
Mm-hmm.
Can you start tying it all together? What do these 5 studies add up to?
One of the things that, like I was saying before, there's a lot more research that needs to be done because, they only measured, very, specific, parts of the immune system, the antigens or the natural killer cells. And, then, they're just showing that they're elevated, but in terms of what happens after they're elevated, that part hasn't been, figured out yet. But what we do know certainly is that just like stress and negative emotions have a damaging effect on the body, laughter, feel good emotions, but laughter specifically, and as we learned from the last study, actually laughing out loud is certainly beneficial to the system and, in a number of ways, including relieving stress and helping you feel better and producing all those feel good hormones, but specifically, strengthening your immune system. And we know that with a strong immune system, we're much more resistant to, diseases. And so that's the ideal. That's what we're all striving for. And so here we have this method free of charge. We can implement at any time of the day or night. And, when we choose to, you can find a good reason to laugh and, hopefully not at someone, but with someone.
There's so many things you can laugh at without laughing at someone else. I don't think that's really going to be the issue.
No.
I would hope not anyway.
Yes.
But as you're describing this, one thought really came to my mind in a strong way,
mm-hmm.
which is more research needs to be done. Imagine if you're somebody who is in your late teens, early 20s, trying to figure out what you want to do with your life, imagine latching onto this and saying, you know what? I'm going to do humor research the rest of my life.
Wow.
Well, you could live to be 200 years old.
Exactly.
Just for doing the research.
Talk about, you know how they always talk about the damaging effects of a job or profession. This has the opposite.
The exact opposite,
effects of your profession.
You don't have to be a comedian like Robin Williams in order to have a career that actually uplifts you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty cool. So if you're listening in and you're in that category, you're still not sure what you want to do with your life, think about being a humor researcher.
Yes.
Not a bad thing to do with your life at all.
You'll help a lot of people. And, you know, we cannot have a show like this without talking about Norman Cousins. I know we've talked about him before.
Oh, yes.
Or a humor therapist.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Well, sure. With the emergence of positive psychology, that's going to become much more the norm.
Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be a lot of openings for that kind of, those kinds of jobs. But Norman Cousins, he cured himself of a, of cancer by laughing, getting a dose of laughter.
About being ahead of his time.
Yes, yeah, certainly.
Way ahead of his time. But boy, the legacy that he leaves just by having done that.
Yes.
Just by having gone out on a limb at a time when you were considered absolutely crazy, certifiably crazy, and I'm not exaggerating, to do something like that. He did it anyway.
Yeah. And he could be considered the father of what was now called psychoimmuno, and I just forgot the term.
Just call it psycho. I like that. That's
right.
Cool.
Psychoneuroimmunology. There we go. Yes. So he's considered the father of that whole field of study, and that opened up the U.S. in conventional medicine to kind of take a look at those, the connection between those things.
Yeah, a fantastic thing that he did. Well, this has been pretty cool, I have to say. We still have about 2 minutes left. I'm trying to think, how can we fill in the last 2 minutes, because we've just had this long laughter situation here that's been really, really good.
But, yeah.
How do you top it off? That's the thing I can't answer.
I was going to try to find a joke, but I didn't get around to it.
Well, I don't think we really need to. We've been laughing at everything that we've been talking about. It's not like we had to create knock, knock, who's there?
Yeah, right.
Knock, knock jokes aren't funny anyway, so what difference does it make? But, okay, well, nevertheless, this has been very cool.
Yes.
I know what we can do. Let's finish off with some recommendations. I mean, obviously, there is the possibility of doing the once-an-hour thing, but maybe there are some people out there who just don't feel like they're quite to that level yet. What can people do with humor to, improve their life, improve their health? What can they do in small ways?
That reminds me, we were watching a video about this, the Happiness Project, and they were measuring people's level of happiness. And there was this lady this African-American older lady who scored way off the chart. She was perfect on everything. And so they were like very curious, the researchers, okay, what is this that you're doing? And she talked about how one of the things that she does every morning is watch cartoons.
Really?
Yes.
Yep. She actually starts out with a small prayer. She asks God for guidance about what she can do that day to be of service to other people, and who to target, who needs help. And then she'll watch these cartoons and laugh and have a great time and get inspiration at that point.
Yes. By the end of it, she knows what she has to do for the day.
Yeah.
So the Cartoon Network can actually be good for you.
Yes. Yes, just make sure it's cartoons that make you laugh.
Yes, yeah, there are plenty of the other kind of cartoons. We don't need those. But certainly the ones that are funny, the ones that you start laughing and laughing and laughing and you don't stop.
Right.
Yeah, the truly good-natured ones.
Yes.
Yep.
What was the one you were watching?
Oh, I came across one called Me Eloise, which was a TV series for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really good. It's funny, and it's also very positive.
Yeah, they're on YouTube, right?
No, I borrowed them from the library
online.
You can stream them from the library.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, that sounds like a nice way to top off what we've been talking about, because now we've given somebody listening a way to just go out and find something out of their local library or online or something like that, plug it in, and improve their immune system. Very, very cool.
Yes. Yeah?
Mark and Yona, thank you so much. Yona, especially for all the research you do to make these most recent sessions possible. We're looking forward to what you come up with next week. I won't even ask this time what it's going to be next week, because I know the answer is always the same. I don't know.
Well, no, this time I know.
Oh, you know this time?
Because I was going
Sure, now that I'm not going to ask, now you know? Okay. So what do we have coming next week?
The reticular activating system in your brain.
Uh-oh, we're not talking lizards again, are we?
Yes.
Oh, no, not lizards.
Yes.
All right, then. Well, tune in next week for Lizard Brain. Mark and Yuona, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, and we're looking forward to hearing what you have to say next week.
Yes, thank you all.
And we'll invite you all back next week here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here. You can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way. Instead.